There's one more small section in 1 Peter I want to share with you. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and start reading at verse 22 in chapter 1. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. And this is the word which was preached to you. And then chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in the respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we cry out to you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would be lifted up and glorified right now. And that your Spirit would help us to understand, and that you would speak to each of us, and that you would empower your word, Lord, and that you would bless this time and lead this time. And so, Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you and trust in you, and we worship you and ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So, I told you guys that I was going to be done with 1 Peter, but this last section here, or this section in chapter 2, these first three verses are actually connected with the end of chapter 1, and I was praying about it and felt led to come here this morning. But we start in verse 1 there, and it gives a list. It gives a list of sins that we are to leave behind, all right? Sins that we are to leave behind. But this list is actually in contrast to verse 22, which instructs us, chapter 1, verse 22, which instructs us, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And so we have that exhortation to love, and that's contrasted by verse 1. But I wanted to focus on verse 22 first. And we've been talking about love, and the Lord has just been showing me some things that that have just been bringing me to tears and have really been helping me. We were reading in 1 Peter chapter 1 about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that though we have not seen Him, we love Him. And, for each of us, don't want to just focus on me, but I guess I can tell you my story. From my heart, I struggle with that. Lord, how come I'm not loving you like I should? How come my heart is not overwhelmed at the thought of you, Lord Jesus? How come I'm not rejoicing and just simply thinking about you? Just simply thinking about you. I can think about other things and my heart starts rejoicing. There's other things I can think about and I get pretty happy. I'm including my family. Blessings that I have, and holidays, and what a blessing that was. My heart gets pretty excited, Lord, but you know what, Lord? There's just times where I think about you, and there's just not much going on in my heart. I'm not rejoicing like I should be. I don't have that joy that I was telling you guys a few months ago. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Seek it, have it. Ask the Lord for it each morning that you would have joy inexpressible and full of glory in the Lord. And so I've been doing that and asking for the Lord, please help me, please help me. Something's not right in my heart. How come this is not true in my heart? And I know that we each can struggle with that. Coldness towards God. And in love with this world and the things of this world. And so, I encourage you again, cry out to the Lord for Him to give you this heart of love that gives you joy inexpressible. He'll show you, and He's been showing me. And one of the things that has affected me the most has been a few words from Pastor Bob, and he got these from the scriptures, okay? I'm not saying that Pastor Bob is divine. He'd tell you the same thing. These are things that he's learned over the years. But just the tangible way to love God is to love others. It's the tangible way to love Him. You want to love God? Then love others. Amen. That's how you do it. That is how you love God. And if your heart is cold towards others, then your heart is cold towards God. Alright? And I've been saying that, and the Lord has just been showing me more and more. The song, More Love to Thee, O Christ, More Love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to Thee. More love to Thee. More love to Thee. You could change that song to More Love to Them, O Christ. More love to them. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love to them. More love to them. More love to them. More love to them. More love to them.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's how it looks, you guys. That's how it looks. The way that you love God is by loving others. And we see that in all over Scripture. We see it in Matthew 25. Enter into the kingdom I prepared for you, because when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When did we do that? When you did it to the least, the outcast, the lowest of the low. When you did it to them, you did it to me. We had a Gene's funeral yesterday, and it was, the Lord just came and blessed it, and the Lord was just working through so many that were sharing, and it was powerful and a blessing, and we were rejoicing. Angela shared this story yesterday, so I feel comfortable sharing it today. You know, there's just people out there that give us more opportunities to love Jesus, aren't there? And we need to take those opportunities. They're a blessing. And Gene told a story about, Angela told a story about Gene, and Gene called Angela one Friday night. Gene didn't have the ability to drive anywhere. She didn't have her license. She didn't have a car, so she had to ask for help in a lot of things. And she called Angela Friday night, 9 o'clock at night, Friday night, and told Angela, "Angela, I have run out of toilet paper. I need toilet paper." And Angela she was on the phone and she took a minute, and then she responded this way. I'm not ever going to forget this. It's amazing. But she just responded this way. How would you respond at that time? Think about it right now. How would you respond? Friday night at 9 p.m., I need some toilet paper. Can you come and help me get it? Go ahead. Think about it. All right? And Angela responded this way. She responded this way, "Jean, you're such a jelly bean. I'll come and pick you up." And then she went and picked her up and they went to the store. But that's what the Word is talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. That's what God is talking about. That's what the Word is talking about, okay? Angela responded, she said this, she said, I couldn't get mad at Jean. I just couldn't get mad at her. I loved her. I couldn't get mad at her. She couldn't offend me. She couldn't do that. I loved her. We should be saying the same thing about each other. And so I've just been thinking about that, and it's been flooring me. It's been flooring me, Lord. It's the answer to the question that I've been crying out for. There it is, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. You are so faithful. And I pray that each of us will learn that. So just in speaking of love, I want to look at a passage on love. Romans 12, turn there. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. I said Romans chapter 9, forgive me. Romans chapter 12. Did I? Maybe I said that to myself in my own brain. All right. Okay, Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." There's a lot here. There's a lot here, but there's a lot here on love. Verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Not only on the outside, but in your heart, be at peace with all men." It starts there. "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So there's a lot in there on love. When we were in Kentucky, I forget why Julie said the reason. She was just telling me. But we had this verse printed out, and it was in our bathroom right by the mirror. So every single day, this verse was right in front of our face. Because it's such a wealth of wisdom right there in those few verses on how we are to live. And how we are to love. So we have this goal in front of us, okay? We have this goal in front of us. We have Christ in front of us who loved this way. And then that's our goal. That's the way we are to live. We should have our focus on Christ and on loving in the same way that He did. And pray. I had a whole point for this sermon that is interwoven through this whole message that Pastor Bob blew out of the water this morning with a few things that he said at the end of our Bible study. So I've been sitting here thinking, Lord, is this going to work? And so please pray. And Pastor Bob, I love you. You've given me more to think about this week. But pray that the Lord will speak truth and I won't get in the way. But back to verse 1. It gave a list. It gave a list of five things. Back to verse 1 in 1 Peter. Gave a list of five things that we are to rid ourselves of, to put off. Put these things off. Don't have them anymore. So what I wanted to say to you today was that there's this goal in front of us that we are looking to do, to love others, to love others radically, as Jesus did, as we see others doing, as Angela did that night, Friday at 9 p.m. That goal should be in front of us. It should be our heart's desire, because we're going to love God when we love others that way. But we all have this push behind us too, okay? We got the goal in front of us, but we have this push behind us. And it's the Spirit pushing us away from this old way of life that we have in us. From the sin in our flesh. The push behind us, pushing us towards Christ and towards this holiness and this divine love that we're called to. Thank you, Lord. So far, so good. You know, I hear people say this. I hear some of you say this. So don't be upset that I repeat it. But I hear people say, I can't be like Christ. I can't be like Him. I can't. So why put the pressure and the law and the rules on myself? I can't do it. He saved me, so why do I want to be legalistic and put this pressure on myself? But the answer that Scripture gives is you can and you must be like Christ. Amen. You must. It's a command. You must be like Him. And it says right here in 1 Peter, where we've been looking at, you shall be holy for I am holy. That's our Heavenly Father speaking to us. Be holy as I am holy. And it says it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Be perfect. Jesus tells us, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. There's that goal. There it is. It's in front of us. But then we got this push from behind and this list of sins that we're putting away from us. Put aside, put away. And studying the Greek word on that, be done with it, okay? Put away, we think, put away our clothes, put away the towel in the bathroom, in the drawer. So it's easily accessible, so we can get to it easy. No, be done with it. Be done with it. Don't think about putting your clothes away so you can go get them again. Be done with it. That's what it's saying. Be done with these things. So we are focused on following Christ, okay? We're focused on that. Be focused on that. If you're not, that's one of the things I want to you to leave with. If you're not believing that you can follow Him, if you're not focused on that, you need to be. But who is He? Who is He? He's God in the flesh, okay? He perfectly displayed the Father. The holiness that we're required to do, He displayed it perfectly in the flesh. John 14, verses 8 through 9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Perfectly displayed the holiness that we are required to have. So to be focused on following Him, but we're also being pushed, should be pushed away from these sins that each of us struggle with. Push forward by conviction and a hatred for these sins. And so let's just take a minute and look at some other passages that also show us this push that we should have away from sin. Chris, you already read one of them this morning, Colossians chapter 3. In verse 8, it says, put them all aside. And if you remember, if you were listening to what Chris was reading, it was a, Our old way of life, the sins that we put them aside. Again, same thing, same word. Be done with them. Be done with them. Stop going back and taking them out of the closet. They're not clothes. They're sins that are wretched and horrible and destroying you and destroying others around you. Be done with them. Be done with them. But there's some other passages. Let's look at them. Romans 13. Hopefully you're still in Romans. Romans 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, 11. Do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. That's true for all of us. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside, let us be done with the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That's the attitude we're supposed to have towards these sins. All right, let's look at one more. Ephesians chapter 4. These sins are hatred towards them, and our battle against them should be pushing us towards the goal and the direction of Christ and towards Christ's likeness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. Yeah, I think you beat me there. Yes. Ephesians 4:20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Be done with. Be done with the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So, there's another list of sins below that, but I think you get the idea. Do you feel that push? Do you feel that push away from these sins, this former way of life? And think about this, you guys. When I was thinking of this, I didn't want you to imagine like Jesus coming behind you and shoving you like some bully in school. I don't know if some of you experienced that. I have gotten picked on a lot when I was in elementary and junior high. But you know what? I had to learn how to push back, or else it kept happening, alright? So eventually I learned, and I don't want kids to be picked on, but I'm concerned about many kids being in an environment where they don't experience that, because they don't learn how to push back and how to stand up and say, no, you are not going to do that to me or to anyone else. Amen. So there needs to be some of that pressure, so they can learn to stand. But I didn't want you guys to imagine Jesus coming and shoving you and you like fall down and like think back to when you were, a little kid. But I wanted you guys to think of it more like this. Think of it more like this. All right, this push away from sin, because Jesus is right with us, and he's the one that's working this out in us and empowering us and making this work in us and happen in us. It's His work in us, and He will complete it. And He's, praise God, He's the one in charge making this happen. But I want you, it's more like this, I believe. Our daughter Eliana is an amazing blessing to us, and we love her so much. We're learning how to teach her and train her to be obedient to mommy and daddy, and grammy and tata and oma, and the adults. All right. And anyway, you know, there's just times. It happens. You know, their children are little sinners. We ask her to do something, and she says no. That's a problem. And she'll say that to Julie, and then I'll be like, Eliana, you need to pick that up. You need to pick that up right now. And she'll say no. And she does it when everyone's watching. She does it at a luncheon, you know, after church service, and like, all right, Matt, you better be a good example to everyone. And anyway, all those thoughts start coming. All right, you know, I gotta be an example and really put her in her place. She doesn't talk to me like that, and she doesn't talk to my wife like that, and so she's gonna get it. You know, those thoughts come to mind, and honestly, if I'm under pressure, I'm not at peace, and I'm wound up, and my mind's going a million miles an hour, I'll probably go to that. But if I'm at peace, and I know that the Holy Spirit is gonna help me, and I take a minute to pray, and my response, which happens occasionally, I want it to happen more, is to reach down and pick Eliana up and say, Eliana, why don't you and I do this together? Let's pick this up together. Most of the time, she'll say, okay, Daddy. But if she says no at that point, then there's really a problem, and it's going to get taken care of, okay? Because that's the end of the line. That's crossed it right there with Daddy, okay? We're going to another room right now. But you know what? At that time, there, a lot of the time, she says, okay, Daddy. And we do it together, all right? That's what our Lord does with us, okay? In that loving way, He picks us up and encourages us, and then He helps us to be done with these sins. Be done with them. Why? Why? Do you want to keep these things? Why? They're hurting you. They're for your destruction. And so, but that's the way He comes alongside. And I said push, but He just picks us up and kind of brings us down and helps us to get rid of them. And so, back looking at this list, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. The thing that kind of blew this up this morning is, and again, Pastor Bob, I'm only thinking about this. We can spend so much time focused on ourselves. We can spend so much time focused on ourselves and focused on these things. And, oh, I messed up again. Oh, man, I'm doing horrible at this. And, oh, gosh, I've got to change this. I've got to fix this. I mean, that's good. Yeah, we want to have that attitude to fix these things, but we've got to be careful not to be so focused on ourselves. And that's what I was going to do for the next section here, is just kind of focus on ourselves, and I don't want to do that. We need to put our focus on Christ and let these sins drive us towards Him, and let our love and our awe and our amazement at who He is and what He did and all of the blessings that He gives us, keep us focused on Him and keep us being pushed away from these things. The main thing I wanted to just happen this morning is just that if there's those out there that have these sins, and you know you do, but you just allow them to stay, you're not getting rid of them, you're not putting them away, you're not being done with them, you know, we need to be holy, like our Heavenly Father is holy, not malicious, this evil quality or state of wickedness, a mean-spirited, vicious attitude, disposition of malice or ill will. If that's in our heart and mind, we've got to be done with that, done with it, and repent quickly of it. Deceit, be done with it. Hypocrisy, being insincere. You know, saying how are you doing, but really what you're wondering is how am I going to get out of this conversation? I've got a lot to do. So hope this doesn't take very long. That is insincere. Got to be done with that attitude. Got to have the attitude like it says in Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not how am I going to get out of this conversation, but Lord, how can I help this person right now? I know You'll show me exactly how. How can I minister to this person right now? And that their interest is more important than yours. And that's impossible for us to do. But with the new heart that the Lord has given us and the Holy Spirit, He empowers us to genuinely, not insincerely, but to genuinely love each and every person that the Lord brings in our path in that way. Now, I'll tell you this. At work, it is in the best interest of everyone that you're working with that you do a good job and you do it well and you focus on your work. That's in the best interest of both you and your coworkers. So don't feel like you gotta stop and talk and chat. But the Lord will give you the right time and the right way. Slander. Be done with it. The act of speaking evil of another. Evil speech, speaking evil of another, and not out of love, speaking wisely to receive counsel or wisely to someone that will be able to help this person, but instead just speaking ill of them. That's actually showing your coldness towards God because you're not loving people like you should be. Your heart is cold towards God when you sit and slander others. And so, you know, we need to do this for our own good. And we think that way. Individually, that's how we think. We think about ourselves. But as Christians, we shouldn't think that way. We should think about the church and the body of believers. Mark, you've coached a lot of football. Finish this statement for me. We are as good as... Oh, man. I heard this a lot. Schroeder used to say this. Okay, we are as good as our weakest man. Yeah. So, you know, in football, we couldn't just be showboats. We have to be a team. And you see that person struggling over there? Encourage them. Build them up. Help them. Because our whole team is going to suffer if that one is not doing well. And, sorry to be a smart mark. I didn't do that one. But But it's the same for us, you guys. Yes, we want to do this in ourselves, but we want to be there to love and encourage those that we know are struggling, because those that are choosing not to be done with these things, if that's you, you're not just hindering yourself. You're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting every single one of us. You're having a negative effect on the whole body, on the whole church. And it's not functioning like it's supposed to. It's not glorifying the Lord like it's supposed to be. It's not working like it should be. And so there's a goal. There's a goal in front of us, but don't forget about that loving push that's coming behind, away from these things. All right? And I wanted this to encourage us in this way. It's like a riding a bike. You know, you ride it and you're doing the pedals and you know, when you first learn to ride a bike and you know you have a regular bike, you just push down. That's it. Push down. Push down. Push down. Push down. Push down. Going uphill. Down. And down. Okay, that's all you're doing. Okay, this dude. Man, what is Matt doing? But if you ever got serious into biking, then you got a bike that had clip-ins. All right, so your shoes connect to the pedals, and they're connected. All right, which is dangerous at first because you do fall over a few times because you're not used to that and you can't snap out quick enough, so you fall over completely. But what that does is that when you're pedaling, you're pulling up with your leg as you're pushing down. So it's pull up, push down, pull up, push down. And it doubles the strength and the power that you have when you're riding a bike. It increases it, and you notice, and once you stop falling over, you notice a very great advantage to that. And now when you're going uphill, you're going like this because you're pulling up and pushing down, and you're not going, okay? But in I wanted to you guys to visualize this way. This should work together, being focused on Christ and know and feel that push away from these sins in your life. And you're going to see some serious growth if you got both these things working and working well. The most important thing being focused ahead at the goal and at our Savior. And so, you guys, we shouldn't be walking in habitual sin and in unrepentant sin. I read this verse this week in my Bible reading, and we're going to talk about Bible reading again next week. So, unless you do not want to be very convicted next Sunday about being in the Word of God, get in the Word of God this week, okay? And start those Bible reading plans. But Isaiah 30, verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest, in repentance and rest, you will be saved." In repentance and rest. All right? In repentance, all right? So what I'm saying to you today means that we're all going to be repenting a whole lot. And I know a lot of us are already. In repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength. And I've used this analogy before, but it's stuck in my head with my coworker at that manufacturing plant in Kentucky, who was my dear Christian brother, who explained this to me about, you know, there's master craftsmen, there's master chiefs, there's people that have mastered whatever field that they're in, but every single Christian needs to be a master repenter, all right? One that is quick to repent and return to the Lord. We all, each one of us, need to be master repenters that are done with these sins, done with them, and repenting and turning to the Lord. And not walking in habitual sin, but walking in habitual obedience. And so, I love my wife. I was telling her about this and she's like, Matt, are you going to be sure that this doesn't sound like it's a works-based faith religion? Like, you better do this or you're not going to heaven. That's not true. You guys know that. But I don't want it to seem that way. Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died taking the punishment in our place. And what did he accomplish? And this passage was hitting me again. We've already gone over this, but 1 Peter 1:18-21. Knowing that you were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he love us this much? Why would he love us that way? Why? There's not an answer, but I'm going to keep asking because it confounds me and it's confounding me more and more. Why? Why would he love us that much that he would come and die for us? Precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. And so that is where our faith must be. That is where our salvation is. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. And with those things said, he requires. As it says in John 13:34, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is how you are to love one another. Be done with the bitterness and the hate and the malice and the insincerity. Be done with it. Right here. Don't let it stay there. Be quicker. Be a master repenter. Be quicker to let that change for every single person. Your enemy, your family, your church. It should be there for a moment and be gone just as quickly. Lord, change my heart. Help me to love this person. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed into the image of his Son. That is who you are to be like. And yes, you can do it. And you must do it. And Jesus is right there with you, picking you up, helping you when you gotta be done with those things. And you know what? A lot of us are throwing a temper tantrum in Jesus' arms, aren't we? No! 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 There's a line for Jesus too. And the result is a loving correction. But why do we want to be walking in loving correction all the time? Why not just walk in obedience and abide in his love? So, Fred, can you please come up? And as we're singing our closing song, if you need to come up and just repent and just spend some time with the Lord, you can do that up here, but you can do that in your seat too. And so I would really encourage you to do that. If the Lord has something on conviction that he's been laying on you, and you know exactly that one particular sin that you've just put that away in that convenient laundry cabinet, so man, you can run right back to it and grab it anytime. You know, that helps me. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Be done with it. Get rid of it. And you know what, you guys, we're all gonna struggle with this. It's not gonna happen overnight. So don't be focused on yourself, which Pastor Bob will be thinking about that this week. But keep your eyes focused on Him. Keep your eyes focused on Him. He's the one that's going to do it. By His power, you ask Him, by His power, He's going to pick you up. And He's going to carry you, and He's going to help you be done with it. All right? Mike's going to close us. And love you, Mike. And you guys, just remember, encourage each other. We're only as good as our weakest, family, weakest link. Yeah, so Lord, help us to love and encourage each other and just come alongside each other and help each other with this process. Love you, Mike. If you could, go ahead, close us.
God, we want to thank You this morning for who You are, for picking us up and holding us in Your lap and saying, I love You. For walking along the beach and seeing those footprints and, God, where are You? And all of a sudden, I only see two. And You whisper in my ear that, Mike, when you're struggling, those are My footprints because I'm holding you up in My arms. Amen. So, God, I thank You for this morning. And I thank You for this congregation. And I thank You for our dear pastor. Amen. Thank You for Bob as well, as I think of our pastors. And be with them. We all struggle. There are times we just want to give up. But You're holding us in our arms, and those are Your footprints holding us up. So thank You for that. As we encourage each other today, as we seriously start to look at the importance of where our world is at and where we're at and what's coming. And You're coming. And we're excited about that. I can't wait. But Father, while we're here, that we would pray for one another, that we would pray for decisions and choices that we make, and that we would seek Your face, and that we would repent, turn from our wicked ways, and exalt You and lift You up. And so, Father, as we look around, even the needs that I was sharing this morning, that there are needs, there are people hurting this congregation. There are people hurting in this community. People who are crying out and wanting peace and joy and wanting to seek the true God. That, Father, we would be those lights. That we would be that salt. That we would get on our knees, Father, and be those people that are reaching out. And that those Walters that are just hungry that need help. Thank You for that. I pray for Amoth that You would be with him. That He's seeking You right now. And Scripture says, those who seek Me shall find Me. But Father, that we would be open and reaching out and praying. So thank You. Thank You for this weekend. And as elders and leaders and boards meet, that Father, that we would seek Your face. That we would take the seriousness of this, that we don't know what to do. Sometimes we just want to hold up our hands. But Father, we're coming and turning to You. And we're asking that You would make the correct decision as Jesus always came and went to You, His Father, to seek His Father's will. So thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for this morning as we go out, that we would love one another. Even this week, that we would reach out and say, hey, I've been thinking about you, brother. Thinking about your sister. We would pull into our wallets and pull out and give and meet needs. That we would love our spouses. That we would love our families like we've never loved each other again. Thank You for what You're going to do. And for this, we give You the praise and the glory in Your marvelous and precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen.